If you have your Bibles and want to turn with us, we're going to read from Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I'm just going to go ahead and be up front with you. I was planning on preaching an entirely different thought throughout the day. I had something prepared that God had put on my heart, but He let me know this was not the time. And we're going to preach a different thought tonight, so y'all bear with me. Usually I'm a little more prepared, but God has placed this on my heart. I trust it will be a blessing to us. So do pray for me. Mark chapter 15. Before we read, we'll just bow to the Lord in prayer. Just ask you to bow with me. Dear Lord, we come to you again this evening. We're so thankful for the day that we've had, Lord, and all the blessings that we've received throughout the day. Amen. Lord, we're thankful for each one that has been able to come and worship, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship, the time that we've had with friends today. I just pray that you would help us to grow, help us to grow as a church, Lord, and as well as individually. I just pray that you would bless in this message this evening. Lord, you know what's on my heart. I just trust that you would lead us, help us to receive it. I pray that I could step aside and give you all the thanks and the praise. I just pray that you would look down and just bless and heal each request of prayer the way that you would see fit. And I pray most of all, if there be one lost this evening, I pray that they would trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. I pray that you would go with us, keep us safe, help us to serve you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15. Just read, starting here in verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made an insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him, whom ye shall call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And we're going to stop reading here this evening with these verses, and we're going to turn to a few more places here in just a moment. The thought that I have on my heart here this evening is, when we're out and about doing God's work, when we're out and about trying to live for the Lord as we ought to, we're doing what we think is right, what we've been told is right, what God's Word says, what God leads us to do. When we're out there doing God's work, and we see that many times it just seems like you can't make anybody happy. There's so often times that you say, Preacher, I'm doing everything right. I'm trying my hardest to read my Bible. I'm trying my hardest to pray for this person. I'm trying my hardest to be the light that I know that I should be. Yet it seems like I can't win for losing. I can't do anything right. I want us to look at this account in Scripture that we read. You look at Jesus here. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was 100% God and 100% man, yet without sin. He was perfect in every way. He did everything right. There was nothing that He did that was wrong. Yet, you see what happened here. They wanted Him, the chief priests, and the elders, and the scribes, and all these group of Jews, they bound Jesus and they wanted Him dealt with. And you look at Pilate, and Pilate asks the question. He says, "Well, why? What evil hath He done? What hath He done? What's the deal? What? He hasn't done anything wrong." Yet they yelled. It says, "Even the more exceedingly crucify Him." They wanted Him crucified. I want to encourage us tonight with this thought. The fact that we are following Jesus is going to attract enemies. You say, "Well, how is that encouraging?" Well, living for Jesus, it's going to be that way. But we'll understand it better by and by. We'll understand it better whenever we get to that finish line. We'll understand it better whenever we cross over into heaven, whenever we go into the next life, whenever we're sitting around the throne of God, when we're walking on the street of gold. We'll understand it better. There's a great day coming where we'll all see that it was worth it. But you say, "Right now, I can't do anything right. I'm constantly being attacked." You will be. You will be. Jesus Christ Himself had enemies. And we're told that if we love the Lord, and this is in my own words, if we love the Lord, then the world is going to hate us. You can expect that. You can expect that. But I want to encourage us this evening with just this simple thought. Don't give up. Don't stop living for God. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't stop trying to live the way that Jesus has instructed us to live, the way that God has instructed us to live. Don't stop doing that. There's always going to be those who attack you. There's always going to be those who come at you and criticize you and try to tear you down. You think about David, and just something that popped in my mind. When he goes out there and they're camped up against the Philistines and on the battlefield, and they're all bunkered down, hiding out. And he comes up and, you know, he says, "Well, is there not a cause? You know, what are we going to do about this?" And his brother, Eliab, he says, "I know the naughtiness of thine heart. You just come out here to see what's going on. You're just a curious little David." And he tears him down. David was doing nothing wrong. David was in the right. David was standing for the Lord. Yet he still had even his own brother tearing him down. It's going to happen. It's going to come. You can expect it. But I promise you, it's worth it in the end. It's worth it in the end. We see that Jesus had to face this, but it was worth it in the end. At least for us, we see that we have a Savior who was led to the cross, who was delivered up, who was sacrificed on that cross, who did die and was buried, and He rose again. He rose again. We look at Jesus hanging on the cross, we think that's such an awful picture. But it's also the most beautiful picture out there. The most wonderful picture, because when you look at that cross, you look at that picture that we can draw in our mind. That's what saves us. That's how we have salvation. Therefore, I'm thankful that God took all the hate. I'm thankful that God took all of this persecution. He took all of this, the enemies that would attack Him. He took it all. Even as he hung on the cross, and you think that was bad enough, he was buffeted and he was spat upon, and he was, no doubt they plucked his beard out and they just very cruel to him. But I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful. I'll tell you this, somebody out there that's watching you will say, I'm thankful for that person. They were always getting attacked. They were always getting persecuted. They were always getting hated on. They always had enemies. They were out in the streets. They were out doing the work of God. They were out witnessing. And nobody liked that person. But I'm thankful for that person. I'm thankful. If it's just one soul that looks back and says, I'm thankful that that person took a stand. You know something? That's worth it. That's worth it to me. It should be worth it to us. We should see that as worthy enough for us to live a life where we're serving God, yet we have enemies. We have hate thrown our way. It's worth it if we win just one more soul. If we bring just one more person to Jesus, we keep doing the work of God. It is worth it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Acts 14 and verse 14 says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. And there was just a bunch of evil doing going on here. They cried out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had done or not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We'll stop reading there. Paul, we know he faced many, many things. I'll mention this very often, but we see here that he was simply just trying to win these people over. Yet it says in verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. They stoned him and just assumed he was dead. They threw him out after stoning him. That's the end of Paul. You think about a person being stoned. You think about somebody picking up a rock and just chunking it as hard as they can. And no doubt even the thought of it hitting you maybe in the shoulder, maybe in the thigh, or in the back of the... hits you right square in the back. But then one hits you in the head and another. And just... You think, how does a person survive something like that? God was not done with him. He had more work to do. He was doing what was right. He was doing what he knew he needed to be doing. And yet they attempted to kill him. But you know what happened? He rose up. He kept going. He walked away from that one. And he kept on. He didn't stop there. He could have. Brother Alton, he could have threw in the towel right there. He could have said, this is too much. This is too much physical abuse. This is too much for me to handle. I can't do this. You know, that in our minds, that would have been understandable. That's understandable for us. Yet he knew that it was worth it to keep going, to keep going. And so he rose back up and he kept going. He kept doing the will of God. There's always going to be those that some of us even wish that they could just silence us once and for all. No matter how much good we're doing, no matter how you say, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything. The burden that God's put on my heart, I feel like I'm executing it fully. I'm doing everything that I can. Yet there's still going to be those that they just ain't going to like. You're still going to receive attacks from enemies. But it's worth it in the end. Keep going this evening. Keep going. Keep going. You might cause family disputes. You might say, you know, this side of my family don't like me because of what I'm standing for. You keep standing. You say, this group of people over here, they don't want anything to do with me because I'm what I'm standing for. Keep standing. Keep standing. It's worth it. It's worth it. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That was Jesus speaking himself right there. There's always going to be those. It don't matter if you prove to them time and time again with the Word of God. You put it in their face. You say, this is right. You can stand and prove your point better than any lawyer out there. Better than any kind of representative, anybody that is maybe good at debating. You can stand there and you can debate better than anybody in the history of time the point that you believe, and you be right. Yet there still can be those that say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what you have to say. Why? Because there's men that love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. People would rather just live in sin. Live in sin. I think about how Jesus talks about the infallible proofs of His life and so on and so forth. Now, that word infallible, it means, but just in my own words, it don't matter if you believe it or not, it's true. It's unchangeable. It's non-debatable. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. Whether you believe in Jesus or not this evening, He died on the cross for you. He went to Calvary for you. It's truth whether you believe it or not. There's always going to be those that would rather just continue the way they are. Keep persecuting you, keep attacking you, but you just keep on going. I'll give you one more example that's on my heart this evening. You think about Daniel. Back in the book of Daniel, and Darius, King Darius. Daniel had to go through the lion's den. He was tossed into the lion's den. Daniel was doing everything right. He was praying morning and night. He was serving the Lord. And there was a decree made. Daniel didn't care. He just kept serving the Lord. And he had to go through what he went through. And in the end, it was worth it, wasn't it? In the end, it's going to be worth it for us. At least it is to me, and it should be to all of us, the thought of just winning one more person to the Lord, just being a light to one more person in our lives. It's worth receiving all that hate, all the attacks. Jesus did. So if you're living for Jesus, you will too. But I'll encourage you this evening. You've got a people that's willing to stand with you. I'll stand with you. And I ask that you pray for me that I'll always be able to say that. I want to be willing to stand. You say, "Preacher, I've never been threatened in the way that Paul did. I've never been threatened to be crucified on a cross. I've never been threatened for my life has never been threatened because of Jesus." We need to be willing, even if you think about that, you say, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I trust that I would be willing to keep preaching the Word. And I want y'all to pray for me on that I could live that out. Not that I feel like I'll be threatened at any given time, but if that day ever does come, I want to be willing to just keep on living for the Lord, because it's worth it. This will be the message this evening. We'll have a verse for song.